Thank you, Suling. This evening, our memory verse is taken from Romans 8, verse 2. And this is yet another wonderful verse that we want to focus on. And it's a verse that tells us how the Spirit of life in Christ has truly made us free from the law of sin and death. And I think that's a wonderful truth that we want to constantly focus on as we struggle with sin, with our own carnality, our own weaknesses. I think it brings a lot of assurance to the heart when we can just look at the Spirit of life in Christ. Not in ourselves, but in Lord Jesus Christ. That's our focus. And well, let's read this verse together. Romans 8, verse 2. Ready, go. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's truly wonderful to know that the Spirit of God brings a very special sense of assurance. During the week, Ivy's father passed away, Mr. Lee. And, you know, it's wonderful to know that within a matter of 1 month, he came to know the Lord when he found out. He found out that he had fourth stage lung cancer in December. And within a month, he came to accept the Lord Jesus in his life. And there was no fear of death. And I thought that was really special. I've seen many people die. I've seen people who do not believe in the Lord. When they die, there's a great sense of frustration and you know, anger. But when you look at Mr. Lee, there was just this deep sense of peace and hope. And truly, it is the law of the Spirit of life working in him. Okay, and this is our assurance, and this is something we want to think about. Okay, well, let's read it one more time. Romans 8, verse 2. Ready, go. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, the law of sin and death. Well, this evening, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we take up God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for this wonderful truth that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. Set us free from sin. Set us free from the law of death. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to continue to be assured of this. And we ask, dear Lord, that you will be with Ivy and the family as they go through this time without dad. We pray especially for Ivy's mother. We pray that somehow, through the continuing ministry of our church brethren, going to them and sharing with them the gospel, we pray, dear Lord, that you will open her eyes and help her see how much she needs the Lord Jesus in her life. Bring a very special sense of comfort to her and to Ivy and the rest of the family. So bless us, Father, right now, even as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this evening we begin a new series of messages on the theme of the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now, we will only take for evening service, we only have two services this week and next week for the next 2 months. The rest of the next 2 months, we will be having combined worships in the morning. Okay? So for this week and next week, we will basically be taken, the message will be taken from 2 Corinthians 4. And we would like to deal with this idea of how the life of the Lord Jesus can be shown in our life. I think one of the things that we all struggle with is how can the life of Christ be manifested in our life? And we all desire, I'm sure all of us, we desire to be more like Christ. But very often we tend to struggle with it. We struggle because when we look at our own weaknesses, our own inhibitions, our own problems, very often we tend not to be like Christ. So I would like to begin by asking this question. How does the life of Christ be formed in our life? How can something that is so divine, so perfect, so wonderful be seen in our life? That when a person looks at our life, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way is light. It is the light that comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way is light. Light that shines within our heart. Light that will fill our minds and our soul. And the more this light fills our heart and soul, the more we can be like the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, we see a problem. A problem that prevents people from seeing the light. And that is spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness is something created by the evil one. Okay, he will veil our hearts and our mind. He will veil people's heart and mind, and so they cannot see the light. The light is very obvious. When light shines in a room like here, you know, there are many bulbs and light. And the moment light shines, it's very obvious. You can see it for yourself. But the problem is, people cannot see that light. Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And we read in verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And so on one hand, the gospel is veiled. They cannot see. Verse chapter 3 and in verse 14, but their minds were blinded. Can you see? So here is a big problem. Why is it that sometimes we cannot reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps part of the problem is spiritual blindness. Why is it that people cannot believe? You know, this was something I was thinking about during the week. How come one, you know, Mr. Lee, within a matter of 1 month, he can believe? But on the other hand, we have people that we have come across, maybe friends or relatives, our own parents or grandparents. We've been trying for so long, sharing the gospel, doing all we can to reach out to the person, but the person just cannot see. And we realize that there is a big spiritual warfare going on. It is the evil one blinding people to the light. And this is something that we, you know, is something we really want to consider. The word blinded means to have clouded vision. It's like as if a cloud comes over a person's eye. Now, have you ever been in a fog that when you drive, you cannot see what's ahead? And sometimes in Singapore, when it rains, and while it's, you know, the rain is so heavy, you can't see. Even if, you know, you switch on your headlights, you can't see what's ahead. And nowadays, people say, hey, Pastor Mitch, can you smell the haze? Right? Can you all smell the haze? I can't. I really can't. Something wrong with my nose. I cannot smell things, which is not a good thing. So I can't smell. Sometimes people say, hey, wow, this really smells nice. I say, I agree, yes. But actually, I can't smell anything. Maybe part, you know, is part of growing older. No, Maybe it's just me. Maybe I should go and check out my nose. But, you know, I just can't smell. It's It's just one of those things, okay? But people are saying, you know, I can smell the haze. I can smell a bit, okay? But they can smell. Wow, it's so obvious to them. You know, when you, very often on the ground, you can't see it as much. But when you fly, when I used to be a helicopter pilot, when you go and fly in the during hazy months, it's really scary. Because when you go up, there's this deep haze. You can't see what's in front of you. And sometimes when you fly about 1,000 feet, you can't see. And this is spiritual blindness. This is what Paul is trying to say. People cannot see beyond a certain level. Okay? They can't see at all, and that's why they don't believe. And this evening, we want to talk about the light of the gospel shining in our hearts. There is this powerful light that God has commanded to shine forth. Okay, verse 6, we read. For it is God who commanded, God said, God spoke, and light shine out of darkness. Now let's take a look at what was this all about? You know, out of darkness, light shone. Out of darkness, God commanded light. And light transcends darkness. Light fills darkness and darkness goes. And it's something that God will do. It's something that God commanded years ago. Now, let's take a look at Isaiah 9, verse 2. Turn with me to Isaiah 9, verse 2. And it's a very famous Christmas passage. Okay, well, let's turn to it once again. And I took a bit of time to read it a bit more. And I like what I read. In 9 verse 2. In verse 1 we read, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed." Now what's the context? The context is distress. The people of Israel, they were going to go through war scenario. They were going to be judged by God. And they were going to go through time of distress. Can you see this? And when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. They were going to go through time of oppression. Time of distress. Okay, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness, they will be in darkness. They dwell in the land of the shadow of death. In the midst of this, in the midst of oppression, the Roman Empire, in the midst of distress, in the midst of the problems of life, in the midst of fear of death, anytime the Roman soldier can come, he takes out his sword and he can just kill anyone. He has the authority. In the midst of that, light will shine. And when light shines, the distress is still there. The Romans will still be there. But what will not stay? The gloom. The light will chase away the gloom. Can you see that? The gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. Verse 3, you have multiplied. Verse 2, those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you. Okay, turn with me now to another passage. And this time let's turn to John chapter 1. As we understand further this idea of light. John chapter 1. And this time we see the light that the Lord Jesus gives. Okay? And in verse 4, we read, John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay? Here is life
How can life be brought to men? It is through light. Is the light, how can there be a transfer of, you know, from God to men? How can there be a transfer of strength, of energy? It is through light. It is the life that was in the Lord, that is in the Lord, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in men. And that brought strength to men. That brought meaning to men. That brought hope, joy. Can you see this? And the light and the darkness could not overcome it. The word comprehend is to overcome it. In Him was life. You know, it is through the life of the Lord Jesus that brings the power of light to men. See, light has tremendous power. It is light that illumines the heart. There is a transfer of power and energy from life to light. And this light overcomes the darkness. And I still remember years ago when I first became a pilot trainee. And I still remember a senior pilot who was just going to pass out. And he was talking to me, wasn't a Christian, but he had something that he wanted to tell me. He said, you know, he was very encouraging. He said, "Hey, Mitch, I know how you feel. You are like in a very dark tunnel right now. It's a very dark tunnel. And, you know, you only see a light at the, very small light at the end of the tunnel. Okay? And he told me, this is what you see right now. And he told me, focus on that light. Because I am at the light now." He's going to pass out already. Of course he can say that. He's going to pass out. He said, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel is a big door. And my one leg is in the door already. Halfway through, it's going to get there soon. So you hang on to that light. Say, wow, this guy is quite biblical. Huh? But you know, that's how the world looks at it. Okay, light at the end of the tunnel. Then some people say, oh, the light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming at you. You know, for us, no. Ours is the light of the Lord Jesus shining in our hearts. Shining in the midst of our darkness. Shining in the midst of our negative thoughts. Shining in the midst of all the doubts, the problems that we have in our life. That we do not end up with gloom, but we can find the strength and the spirit to press on in the midst of the darkness of life. Can you see this? This is something that the Lord can do. He can shine that light. He will seize hold of that darkness. And this light is the sphere and the character of the Lord Jesus in our life. Okay? Now we move on to John chapter 8. Quickly now. In John chapter 8, we read of how Jesus Himself is the light of the world. I am, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, Jesus is like the sun. And I came across a very wonderful verse. You put one finger there and you turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. And I like this verse very much. And he explains a bit more about Jesus being the light of the world. And in Malachi chapter 4, we read in verse 2, "But to you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise." You see, this light of the world is Jesus as the sun. The Sun of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like store-fed calves. Wow, you will grow fat. Well, we all like that, right? The grow. Especially now after Chinese New Year and we are all a bit slightly overweight. Grow fat like store-fed calves. And this is something special. Basically, it's the idea of the blessing of the Lord. And this is the Lord shining in our hearts. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. And we read of how the Lord Jesus The light of the gospel, how it has shone in our hearts. And that is the personal experience of light shining in our own hearts. You know, has the light of the Lord Jesus shone in your heart? It's a very obvious, it's a very clear and obvious thing. When light shines in the heart, it touches the heart. It moves the heart. It penetrates the heart. It causes the heart to feel in a way that has never felt before. That light is the radiancy of Christ. Bless the light of the gospel of Christ, or the glory of Christ, the image of God should shine on them. It is through the knowledge of the gospel, of the glory of God, seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the light that shines in our heart. And it brings about illumination. It brings about strength. It brings about joy. It brings about life. A kind of life that goes beyond just physical kind of strength. It is a life that the Lord Jesus brings to a person's soul. And it is the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. It is the Lord Jesus, the image of God. Turn with me to John chapter 1 again, sorry. I should ask you to put a finger there. John chapter 1 verse 14. In John chapter 1 and in verse 14 we read. Okay? And we... that was the true verse. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, Christ is full of grace and truth. You know, when you are deeply moved by how gracious the Lord is to you, that light shines in the heart in a very special way. You see the fullness of God's grace to us. You see the fullness of His graciousness to us. You know, we can look back on all the sins we have done and, wow, somehow the Lord is willing to be gracious to us. You know, I've seen in my own life, when I was 12 years, 14 years old, and you know, pastor was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, and I was so deeply moved. I look at all my sins, all the horrible things I've done, and yet the Lord was willing to save me. And through the years, bit by bit, I've sought to allow the Lord and His grace to have a greater impact on my heart. I think this year, my word that I really would like to focus on is the idea of the grace of the Lord. How the Lord has been so gracious to me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be here. You know, recently, I was telling at bilingual service of how my wife gave... My wife received a plant from someone. And this plant, every day she would water. And she would water it. And it's a very interesting plant. It has many, many small little flowers. And she went away for 2 weeks. And so before she went away, she told me, sent me an SMS. I thought she'd say, oh, you know, take care, I love you. No, it wasn't. You say, you better take care of the plant. Water it every day. And so I did not water the plant. In fact, by the next day, I forgot. Every day when I go to work, you rush, you don't... I didn't even look at the plant for 2 weeks. Amazing. And so I went to pick her up from the airport. And when she came to the car, the first thing she asked me, how's the plant? And for the life of me, I don't know what the plant looks like, whether it's dead, whether it's still alive. And you know, at that point of time, I believe in the power of prayer. And so I prayed somehow, Lord, please be merciful. And when I went back, to my joy, first, it was still alive. Secondly, you can see it was slowly dying, but still alive. And I look back and I remember. My wife said, you got water the plant? Or? No. I said, no. But you know, somehow, that 2 weeks, every day it rained. Every day it rained, and somehow the plant survived. And I thank God. Lord, thank you for being so gracious. If not, I won't be here today. Really. You know, it is the grace of God shining in our hearts. It is truth shining in our hearts. It is the Lord Jesus, the face of the Lord Jesus, in the face of Jesus Christ. 4 verse 6. You know, when you look at the gospel, what do you see? It is almost as if you will see the Lord Jesus face to face. You cannot see Him. He is invisible. But yet, when the light shines in our heart, it is as if the Lord Jesus is right there with you. I was sharing at a morning service of how during the past few weeks, pastor explaining to us about the grace of God. And I would like to encourage you to come for camp. I call this the camp of all camps. If not, at least come for the evening service. Because the more I listen day by day, I begin to see even more the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I was so deeply moved by it. I was so deeply, you know, I just wept when I went to talk to pastor one day. I didn't expect it, I didn't plan for it, but the more when we were just sitting there and the more he talked, wow, you know, I was just trying to hold back my tears because I was just so deeply moved by the grace of God. It was as if the Lord was there with us. And so I got up and I went to him. And I think he didn't expect it. I just hugged him. And I cried. I really cried. And I told pastor, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would not be here. I would have no family. I would have nothing. And I understood so much more light shining in our hearts. And it's through the light shining in our hearts that we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. Grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is nothing less than the mercies of God. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we read verse 1, as we have received mercy. What's the difference between mercy and grace? Come for camp. We will spend a lot of time understanding what is mercy and what is grace. I won't spoil it for you. Come for camp and find out. You know, there's so much that we can understand. And my personal challenge to all of you is to let the light of the gospel shine in our hearts, in our life. Let's reflect this full of grace and truth, this light of the Lord Jesus in all that we do. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1, we read, and since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Let's not lose heart. Let's not give up by the challenges of life. Let's not darkness overwhelm us. Let's not lose heart. Tomorrow, A-level results for some of you. Don't lose heart. It's only A-levels. That's it. Don't worry. That life is far more than the A levels. Right? See, all of us also got A levels, right? We survived. So can you. Okay, so it's not the end of the world. Of course, my office will be open tomorrow. Pastor Mark's office will be open, so, you know, consultation anytime, just me. One of the girls ready, say, hey, Pastor Mitch, can I come and see you after that? Okay, can everybody all come? And okay? Don't lose heart. Okay, don't lose heart in life. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Our focus, centrality, Christ. We preach Christ, not ourselves. It's not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be our focus. He should be the focus of our sharing. And when we share, we will share until people see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, may Christ become so much our center. May Christ be all that we seek to be for Him. To be born servants for His sake. Not for our own sake. For His sake, we be born servants. And the Lord will shine the light of the gospel in our hearts. And as we understand this, as we have this, then let that light shine forth to others as well. Okay? Well, let's prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Benediction. And now may this great mercies of God be upon us in a very special way. May the Lord bless us as we seek to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do in life. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to be able to seek after the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it continue to shine within us that we will be able to find that strength and the energy and that grace to be able to live for Him. And may the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us. Continue to encourage us and strengthen us now until the Lord Jesus come, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.